Yeah, I was saying, the recent tragedy in Eretz Yisrael really really requires a tremendous amount of introspection, thought, and expression about the tsar that Klal Yisrael has gone through, and these families of people who lost beloved family members. And I'd like to address it, but not right now. I'd like to leave it for the Chumashir for tomorrow, which anyway I was going to speak about a little bit about the tragedy tomorrow, September 11th. And of course that arouses a lot of thought in our minds on the communal level, on a personal level. There was a young fellow who was in this very shir who was a victim of September 11th, was in the shir several years ago. And in every year in September 11th, it requires us to have a special thesaurus and a special reevaluation of certain values of life. And I'd like to leave that for tomorrow's Chumashir, that we should reflect on certain aspects of life, of appreciation for life. And Rez Hashem, tomorrow we'll focus on that. Okay, what I'd like to learn today is the bottom tosis on Beis Hamikdash. It's a famous tosis. Riboinami Mumchem. So we've discussed many times in the past weeks the requirement of mumchin of smuchin, which means the ordination ish mi pi ish and Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to be done certain dinim. Knossos, we said, Malkus, Misa, you can't be done these things without smuchin. Then we mentioned that there's a concept of shlichusayu, which says that even if we're not smuchim, we're considered like shluchim of the smuchim, and either the Torah or the Rabbanon gave this dispensation. But even the dispensation was only given in situations of shliach and chisar kis. For example, somebody's going to break the window, and you have to be able to take him to a din Torah, because we don't have smuchin, then I lose out my money. So Chachamim or the Torah said, it can't be. You can't have such a thing. You can't have such a thing. So therefore, since it's a need, so the Chachamim said you can be done dinei mamonos without smuchin. But certain things that are not so crucial, for example, kefil, which is a knas, so it's not so crucial that I get my kefil. As long as I get my object back, or the value of my object back, it's not so crucial. So then we stick with the real halacha, the real Iker Hadin. And the Iker Hadin is that what? That you need smuchim for these cases. And then we discuss geiris. How do you have geiris bizman hazeh? How we don't have smuchim? So we discuss that Tosis Ashita is that also shlichusayim. That also is considered a need of the community, an important need that we should be able to facilitate the ability of having geirim enter our community. That's considered an important need, just like other important needs. And we don't say, oh, that's, if we don't get the geirim, so big deal. No. we consider that as an important need to our community. And the Rashba said no, that the Geirus never even required smuchim from the first place. It just required the. So this Tosus is going to discuss the sources of smuchim. So we've mentioned many times that the the main source of smuchim is the fact from the word Elohim, that the Dayanim are called Elohim. They're godly. So what's the idea of Elohim? So we said Elohim is smuchim. And we discussed the Torah Chaim, that the idea is that when you get smicha, ish mipi ish al Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's a transfer of the Shechina that's being imbued upon you. The Moshe gave to Yeshua, Yeshua gave to this Canaan gave it to the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, until it stopped, until the Goyim made a gzera that the Jews can't give smicha, and if they give smicha, they'll get killed. So they still were able to give some, you know, private smichas, underground smichas, but after that, it was fafal, it was gone, and there was no more smicha. And then, as we mentioned, there's a Rambam shita that still you could reconstitute smicha even if you break the chain, if you get all the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael together, and that was the whole machlokas between the rabbis in Tzfat and the rabbis in Yerushalayim, etc. So Tosa says the following: Tema, the mashma hachad matina hegyotiv mitzvah Elohim. From our Gemara, it's mashma that the source that hedyotos, meaning people who are planers, commoners. What does it mean, commoner? Commoner can mean a talmid chacham, but he doesn't have the official ordination. Like everyone today, everyone today is hedyotos. We're all commoners. Even the biggest talmid chacham is a commoner because he doesn't have the official smichi ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the source from the word Elohim? So the Tosas asks, is a stira, because our Gemara is mashma that the source of smicha is from the word Elohim, and the Gemara in Gittin is mashma that it's from the pasuk Eilech ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. These are the mishpatim that you should place before them. Lifneihem, meaning before the judges. So the Gemara dashens, which judges? The smuchim and not the hedyotos. So what is it? Is it from Elohim? Or is it from Eilech ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem, lifneihem velo lifnei akum. So there seems to be two sugyas. One is says the source is from Elohim, and one is says the source is from Eilech ha-mishpatim in front of these people, to exclude other types of people which should not be judging, namely the people who do not have the official smicha. So Tosis is bothered, which is the true source. So Tema, the mashma hocha de matina hedyotus mitzvah Elohim, who v'perek hamigarish right lo mitzvah lefneim velo lefnei akum velo lefnei hedyotos. So the Yeshlomar, Tosas answers, the Hasam Matinim Lefneim Yishum De Lefneim Koi are Elohim, the Hacham. Kolom Lefnei Hadayonim Meforshim B'Mokim Acher. So this is the simple teretz. This is the most basic teretz. Meaning, the Kasha never got off the ground. What do you mean there are two sources? No two sources. Elohim is the source of smuchim. Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim. That drasha, Lefneim V'lo Lefnei Hadyotos. How do you know that it's Lefneim below Lefnei Hedyotos? Because Lefneim is referring to the Elohim. In other words, Lefneim is very ambiguous. How do you know it's Lefneim below Lefnei Hedyotos? Because in that parsha, it says Elohim. So Memela, that's how I know that Lefneim means below Lefnei Hedyotos, from the same Elohim. So it's not two separate drushas. It's the same drusha of Elohim. And once you know there's Elohim, so then it means smuchim. So then, when the pasuk says Elohim mishpatim asher tosim lufneihem, who's the lufneihem? Lufneihem is the Elohim. Simple.
Pshut. That Rashi in Gittin says the Lifneim is referring to the Shivim's Kainim. In other words, you should give the Mishpatim to the Shivim's Kainim, Sha'oli Molahar, Sheima Sanhedrin. So then, if that be the case, then the Lifneim is not going on the Elohim, it's going on this Kainim, which were Smuchim also. So if that be the case, then it's still a little difficult. Because then you're saying Lifneim means the Shivim's Kainim. Lifneim is not going on the word Elohim, it's going on the Shivim's Kainim. So then again, the question comes back. So what's the source for what? What's the source for Smuchim? Is it from Elohim, or is it Eil Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneim? So now, he wants to give another teretz. Again, I'm totally happy with the first teretz, but now he wants to give us a second teretz. V'nira Lefarsh, three lines from the bottom. The begitin le'inyan mili d'kfiya, Ayri. Da'achi maisi le'abaye ashkach le'rav Yosef da'hakayosif v'kama'ase agitin. What was the context of the Gemara in Gittin? The context of the Gemara in Gittin was that there was a recalcitrant husband, a husband that didn't want to give a get, and the Bezin had to force him to give a get. So the Gemara says, you need a Bezin of Smuchim. How could it be? So the Gemara says, Amalei Vanan had Yoto Sanan, Aval Elo, oh. And the source. And then the Gemara discusses Yisrei Shlichusayu, like we saw that Gemara already before. Av Elohim lava mila aish suikoi, ela bedin ba'alma. Oh, so what's the answer? He's saying like this. The two psukim of the pasuk of Elohim is one source for what? For that you need smuchim for a din Torah. And ela mishpatim asher tosim lefneihem is what? Is another source. So what do you need two sources? So the answer he's going to give now is that there are two functions of the Beis Din. One function of the Beis Din is to judge the case, is to be done the case. So that is the pasuk of Elohim, that you need smuchim to judge the case. That's Elohim. However, the other pasuk, Eile Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneihem, that you also need smuchim. You know what that's referring to? That's not referring to judge the case. That's referring to enforce the rules. In other words, if somebody is not listening to the Beis Din, so Beis Din will go out and physically coerce the person to follow the rules of the Beis Din. So that's a separate halacha. So the chiddush is that you can't just get three guys who are, I would think you should get the three strongest people on the block and take care of the situation. So the Gemara, so, right? So the Pasuk say, no! Eila mishpatim asher tosim lefneihem. It has to be someone with smicha to enforce as well. In other words, the whole process of the Beis Din requires smicha. Not only the judging, but also the enforcement, also the people who are going to enforce the fellow who's not willing to give a get and going to whip him or whatever, they also have to have smicha. So Mamela, that's why you need what? The two psukim. You need the pasuk of Elohim to teach me what? That you need smuchim for what? For the paskinim. And then you need another pasuk of Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lusneim to teach me you need what? Smuchim for the Isur, the forcing, the enforcement and the forcing of physical coercion that is required in a situation where the fellow is not listening. Now, one second. The question is, but how do you see that in the pasuk? Eila ha-mishpatim asher tosim lefneihem. Why did that pasuk refer to what? To enforcing. How do you see that in the scriptures?
Where
does it say that? So Tosas continues. How do you know that the pasuk of Eilu Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneihem is referring to Isui, is referring to forcing, is referring to physical coercion? Yisrael milfneim, Yishum dashinul kaman me'asher tosim elu klei hadayonim meshayich behem sima. Because the later on, you see, what does the pasuk mean? Elu mishpatim asher tosim lufneim. So I learned, I would ask anyone, what is elu mishpatim? These are the mishpatim that you should place in front of the judges, the teaching of the laws, right? So what does it mean to place? So pasuk tzad doesn't mean to physically place, but if I'm explaining something to you, so I'm placing the information in front of you, right? I'm not doing a physical thing. I'm just explaining. That's called placing something, not in a physical way, but it's still called I'm placing the information in front of you. So the Gemara explains that no, that tasim also means physical. What does it mean physical? These are the things that you should place in front of the judges. What? What are you placing in front of the judges? What are you placing in front of the judges? What are you placing in front of the judges? One word. Weapons, whips. You're giving the judges the whips that they should have, the weapons that should have, because that's what it means, tasim. Something physical. So if that's what it means, the Gemara says later on, these are the klei dayanim. So Mimela, that whole pasuk is referring to the enforcement. So hence, we learn that what? That the requirement of smukim that is learned from the pasuk of Eila HaMishpatim Asher Pasuk with Lehem is referring to the requirement of having a bezin of smukim for the physical coercion that might be necessary. So hence, we answered up the question. The Elohim is telling me you need Dayanim with smicha for the paskening of the shayla, and eil mishpatim asher tosim lufneim is the coercion. You also need bezin smukim to do the coercion. Now, how do I know that? I know that from the Gemara later on that says tasim is not to be only taken figuratively, that it means to place information, but is to be taken literally as placing something physical, namely the whips and the weapons and that are needed for the bezdin to go ahead and do this coercion. Yeah.
So how does that fit in with Rashi's Torah? Or Rashi says the flame is going on the shooting's king, what does that do with?
Yeah, so as who asked this to me? Yoel? Asked this to me, where's Yoel?
Okay.
Oh, Yoel, shalom. Okay, right, so it's not going to answer up for necessarily, in other words, it's a different shot in the original question. Because the original question was, what do you need two psukim? So the easy answer is that we really, it's one pasuk. It's Eilu Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufneim is referring back to the Elohim. Who's the Lufneim? The Elohim. So it's the same drasha. It's one and the same. But this is a fancy answer, that there are two halakas here. This is the brisker answer, that there are two halakas. Eilu Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufneim and Elohim are telling me two different aspects of the requirement of having a bezdin of smukim.
So then, so in the story with Yosef, how I don't know that he has a right to enforce. We know he has a right with the whole shlichus thing. How do we know that enforcing was given down as part of shlichus?
So that's because enforcement, whatever was given down with shlichus are things that are considered necessities. So this is considered a necessity. This is considered a necessity. Oh. Okay, Rabosai. Now, there is a famous ksos on this. You have to know every famous ksos. That's like, that's very important that you should know the famous ksos. We won't even do every part that I bracketed here. Take a look.
let's see. Okay, first let's look at the Rambam on page 1. The Rambam writes in Halacha Yud, Afal Pishein Bezdin Pachas Mishlosha, even though you can't have a Bezdin less than 3, Mutar Lecha Lodun Min HaTorah. In other words, the Rambam paskins that really Min HaTorah, like Rav Acha Brei D'Raviki, you only need one dayan. Shenema B'Tzedek Tishpat HaMisecha. Midivrei Sofrim Ad Shiyu Shlosha. And midrabanan, you need 3. Ushnaim shadonu ain't din named in. So now, so the Rambam shita is that really midaraisa you only need one judge, right? And it's only midrabanan that you need 3. Good? Good. So what's the problem with this Rambam? That we know that from elsewhere that the Rambam holds Erev Parshis. So if you hold Erev Parshis, what does that mean? That you transfer the information from Pasuk Ches to Pasuk Chavdalet. That there's a requirement of having what? Smuchin, even by Hados Valvos, and you need 3 as well, because you transfer over the 3 Elohims. So if you're transferring over the 3 Elohims, so that means Midaraisa, you should what? You should have 3 Smuchin, Midaraisa of Hados Valvos. So how can the Rambam say that midaraisa you only need 1, but if you hold from Erev Parshias, so that means you transfer over all 3 Elohims, and midaraisa you should require 3. So says Eloshon Rambam, Mutu lecha lodu min haTorah, shenemar b'tzedek tishpat HaMisecha, umidiv risofim tzarech shlosha, v'ud asar v'acha, u'shmul, dvar Torah b'chad sagi, aval sugi perek hachovel, perek hamegarish, mashma, because the Gemara says that even by Dini Momenus you need 3. Damrusham gabe Hodos Valvos, Danan Shlichusayu kav Dina. The Gemara says that Hodos Valvos you need, you say Shlichusayu, so that means you transfer over the 3 Elohims. So what's going on here that the Rambam says you only need 1 person, you need Daraisa? And Pashtus is that one person doesn't have to be a soluch. Because if you're saying you're not transferring over the Elohim, so then you have no source for 3, then you have no source of soluch either. So if you're not going to transfer over the 3 Elohims, right, like the Rambam seemingly doesn't on a Daraisa level, so then you don't need smuchim either. So if you don't need smuchim either, so then why does the Gemara say you need shlichusayu? You never need for Hodos Valvos, you never needed smuchim in the first place. So the answer of the Tzos doesn't say any big chiddush. The Tzos just says, you know what the answer is? That even though the Rambam doesn't require smuchim to judge a case, but he still requires smuchim for kfiyah. In other words, the Rambam still requires, and you see from Tosas that they're 2 separate things. There's a halacha of paskening, and there's a halacha of kfir. And those are 2 separate areas. So Tosha said you needed smuchim for both. Maybe the Rambam sheet is that you only need smuchim for the kfir. Literally, Yashe, Lefima Shabur, Vidibay Tosha, Bafil, Name, and Divinatora, Bakat Saki, Ladun, Abol Kalponim, Yidine Kfir, Fadai Tsarev Mumchim. In other words, even though Min HaTorah Chad is Sagi, that's for what? That's for judgment. And Chad doesn't have to be a Mumchem. But the Kfiya, you need it. Which is what happens to what you would think, logically.
You would think, right?
That's what right? You would think logically that for the paskening you need the smicha. But for the hitting, you know, you just get the biggest guy on the street. Right? That's what you would have thought. So wants to say, no, the way the Rambam cheat is, because once you see the Tosfos split into two categories, so maybe there are that Gemara that says in each Lusayah that's only for the Kfiyah. And the Rambam that says, you know, it's a shver vort. In other words, if you physically take it out, maybe you need that authority. The Psak does it also, because the Psak, yeah.
Okay, so that's what he, and then he just quotes the Tosfos, so we don't have to read the Tosfos again. But that's the Ktzos. The Ktzos says that, that for Kfiya, you need smukim. You need smukim. So whenever you kofeh somebody, you need smukim. That's what he says on page 3. Mvur midivrem dehida din yochel yosol pi yochit hedyo av alokov vaday beinen mumchim shim tashar tosim ufneim eilu klei adayon koi al shivim zkenim. Uvahoki sham beumdu de yosif rav yosef vikramasoy agite beil kofeh nosol lahotzi. So that's why you need shlichusayim, because meiker din you needed smukim. So that's what the Ktzos is saying in Pshat and the Rambam. Yeah. Kfiyah means what? No, we're not. But we're talking about when you give somebody malchus because he ate in McDonald's. And you give him 40 malchus, that's not a din kfiyah. That's a din onish. Kfiyah means someone doesn't want to give a get, or someone doesn't want to sit in the sukkah. So then you beat him up.
So you don't need 3 to get some malchus? Only for kfiyah?
What?
So you only need 3 for kfiyah, not to get some malchus?
No, for malchus, you need 3. And those 3, or 23, have to be real smukin, and you don't say shlukusayim. By kfiyah, you need 3 meikar adin, but you say shlichusayim.
So then one
is midaraisa, the paskin and dinei momenus. You only need one. What is the Rambam? Oh, so what's the source of the Gemara of Kfiyah? So the source is a Gemara in Ksubas. Take a look in the Gemara in Ksubas on page 4. Take a look. And you have to realize, Rabosa, that the whole idea of Kfiyah, I mean, was when there was a Bezdin, and it was when the society was a totally different society. Today, of course, we don't work with these rules. We saw the Chazon Ish of Vosos Ava, right? We have also whips, but the ropes are ropes of love, not the ropes of pain, right? But it's a different method. Even the Gemara says that a Rebbe is supposed to be very strict with his Talmidim. Zrok mara the Talmidim, the Gemara says. That a Rebbe is supposed to throw fear in the face of his Talmidim. So I remember when they had the Hachnasa Sefer Torah in memory of Rav David Lifshitz, Zatzal. So his son-in-law, Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, who is the author of Making of a Gadol, he spoke and he said from his father, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Gemara doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, because that Gemara only applied in a society where it would be constructive if the Rebbe would make the Talmidim fearful. But in today's society, if the Rebbe is going to make Talmidim fearful, so then they'll just go someplace else. They'll just go to leave the yeshiva. What do they need it for? Right? What do they need it for? So it's very important to know when you learn a Gemara, to know, to understand it well, to know what applies bizman hazeh and what doesn't apply bizman hazeh. You can't just read things and say, oh, it says here like this, and this is the way it is. You have to have a big enough Talmud Chacham to understand how to apply the halacha. Because if you don't know how to apply the halacha, that's why it's very dangerous sometimes when people learn these kitzur svarim, and they don't need to see the whole sugya, so then you don't know how to apply the halacha. Like when we did Pasabah B'Kisnan. So if you just read the Mishnah Berurah straight, or you read these, I'm not saying that Mishnah Berurah is a tremendous sefer, but even the Mishnah Berurah, if you're not going to see the whole sugya, you're not going to understand it properly, you're not going to be able to apply it properly. That's a very important part of learning halacha, is to learn through the whole sugya. If you learn the whole sugya, you see the whole development from A to Z, so then you'll be able to apply it properly. But if you just see bottom line conclusions, you're not going to be able to necessarily apply it to the modern day situation. That's that's why, you know, a lot of times in yeshivas the minhag is that, you know, the main seder in the Gemara is the 3-hour Gemara seder, and then there's a half an hour Mishnah Berurah in the morning to learn halacha. But you don't really learn halacha that way, because you don't really have a full, there's certain areas in halacha that are not so so deep that you can see the bottom line, you'll be able to like Hilchos Kriya Shema, if somebody says hello to you and you have a response, it's very clear cut, you know, what the halachas are, you don't make it necessarily. But even that, any area of halacha, if you don't understand, if you don't see the whole process, then you're not going to. That's why it's very important that we should come on Sundays, so we should learn a lot of different halachas from A to Z, so we should be able to apply it properly. Okay, so what is the Gemara saying, Sukkos? The Gemara says it's Tzuvis, Amalei Rav Kana, the Rav Papa, Lidigat Amalei Kriyas Bachov Mitzvah, Amalei Nomicha the Avid Mitzvah, Mai. So it says someone doesn't want to pay back a loan. Kriyas Bachov is a mitzvah, he doesn't want to pay. Mai, Amalei Tanina, Bamed, Bamamurim, the Mitzvah Slosase. In other words, if a person violated a Mitzvah Slosase and he ate ham, he ate McDonald's, whatever, so you give him out this 40 times. Well, the mitzvah is essence. Say, make a sukkah, means sit in the sukkah, and he doesn't want. Lula ve'ena osa. Makin oso ad shetetze nafsho. So the Gemara says that makin oso ad shetetze nafsho. That we force him to do it until ad shetetze nafsho. And that's the source of fear. So the Tzos Kiddush based on Tosis is that this halacha of makin oso at shetetze nafsho has to be done nafka by a bezdin that has smicha. And if you don't have a bezdin that has smicha, then you don't do it. Would you say shlichusai on this?
Or the Tzos,
so would you, what about by sukkah? Maybe not. Maybe Shlichus Sai by Kfir is only by Kfir by Get, but not by Kfir by. Makin Oso Asha Tetze Nafsho. The Ran and Chulin has an interesting interpretation. He says it's not a question of esse versus los esse. The Ran and Chulin says on page 6, it's a question of whether you did the aveira or not, or whether it's something we can stop in the future. In other words, Ratzalomer, last word in line is Ratzalomer, Reish Lamed. Shemakin oso ba'omer lo los esse od masha sisa. Vas kevin shaveira su yelo malkinele. Su, v'kevin. In other words, he's saying that there's a difference between a finite punishment. In other words, if the person did the Aveira already, he ate the Chazer already, so then you give him a finite punishment. You give him 39 Malkus and that's it. But if he's trying to prevent something, It's already, see, after Pesach, he ate chametz. So now it's after Pesach, so now you give him malchus. 39 malchus or not. But what if it's during Pesach, and he's continuing to eat chametz, and you want to stop him, so then you hit him until he stops, even if it's more than 39. Even if it's more than 39. What? No, but the Gemara's mashma that there's a chilek between mitzvah sasei and los sasei. By los sasei, you give him 39 malchus and that's it. By an essay, you want him to get to do an essay, you hit him asher teitzei nafsho. And Rav Lish has pointed out that the shita mekubetz in asher teitzei nafsho means until he's unconscious. Once he's unconscious, no sense in hitting him more. He's already unconscious. Yeah.
I'm not sitting in the sukkah.
So Bezdin comes to his house with their whips, and they hit him until he says, "Okay, I'm sitting in the sukkah."
And then,
smukkah. But if it's already after sukkah already, or it's already after Pesach already, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do, so then you hit him, but 39, and that's it. Usually you don't give malchus for not sitting in the sukkah, but this is probably midrabbanan the 39 by the sukkah. Because you give malchus, you have to. In other words, Gemara says that by Mosa says it's finite, and by Essay it's infinite. So the Ran says no, it's not a chiluk between Essay and Mosa. It's a chiluk that if it happened already, if the transgression happened already, so then it's finite. If it did not yet happen, in other words, if he's still in the course of the process, so then you hit him until he stops. But see, according to the Pashat Chat the Gemara, if it's a low sasei and it's still in the middle of the yontif, so you only give him 39. But according to the Ran, no, you give him until he stops eating the chametz. Logic, it's smart.
But the Gemara has the arguments in mind, right?
No, he's just saying that the Gemara means lo sasei means that he violated it already. It's not a question of lo sasei versus essay. He's interpreting lo sasei means he already violated lo sasei. Oh, so one second. The Nesivus on page 7. The Nesivus was the person who was Yaakov Milisa, right? Who argued with the Ksos. The Ksos is a much more enjoyable sefer. The Nesivus is much harder. But a lot of times the Siva says that Sos was too enjoyable and he got the shot wrong. Sos is a good safer because it gets you to think, learn how to think. Like the Mechas, certain Sfarim get your mind thinking. That's why Rav Shach was a very big fan of having the Yeshiva welcome to learn Sos, because it trains your mind to think. Siva says like this. Look in the Gemara both sides. On page 8. Page 8 on both sides. What is the halacha on both sides? The halacha is that a person must marry a Jewish woman. How do you know that? We should have a whole packet on that. It's not so simple. Where does it say that? What's the source and what's the... It's in the Sugin Sanhedrin. So we should talk about what is intermarriage all about, and what is the violation, the technical violation when someone intermarries, and is there a difference between the two types of intermarriage? Is a man, Jewish man, with a female goya, and vice versa, and why is one more chomer than the other? That's also a whole discussion. We should do these sugyas. No, Sunday we don't have to do. We can do this during the week. Sunday is for things that don't come up in Sanhedrin. Things that come up in Sanhedrin, I don't need an excuse for Sunday. So Pasa Baba Kisnin, as much as I wanted to come up in Sanhedrin, it's not going to come up. So I have to, so we'll learn, you understand? But things that come up in Sanhedrin, like, and any sugis you want to do in Sanhedrin in the course of the year, but I want you to come away with the, you know, sugis that you're going to be very taken by. Like, you should know, what's the issue of gambling? That's a sugi in Sanhedrin. You know, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to gamble? You're not allowed to gamble? That's a sugi in Sanhedrin. Intermarriage is a sugi in Sanhedrin. What? Who are your relatives that are apostle or edus to you? Or not? That's a sugi in Sanhedrin. A lot of sugis that are halacha in Sanhedrin also. There are a lot that are not. Okay. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Zayn? The halacha is that what is an Eved Ivri? An Eved Ivri is a Jewish guy. He did a little geneva on the side, and he doesn't have money to pay back. So we sell him as an Eved Ivri. And this way, we sell him for 6 years as an Eved Ivri. And then he gets paid for his work. And then, at the end of the 6 years, he's able to pay back the neighbor that he took. But it's interesting that an Eved Ivri is not just a guy who's mopping your floor. I have a guy who mops my floor for 6 years. So is he an Eved Ivri? I need a guy to mop my floor for 6 years. 6 years. I need a guy to mop the floor. I need a guy to shovel the snow. So I say to this guy, you are shoveling the snow for 6 years. You should come every time it snows, or every time, every couple of days, you come and mop the floor. So that's an Eved Ivri? What's an Eved Ivri? How do you make an Eved Ivri? How do you go? What do you do? Yeah. Not how to treat him. You have to treat him well, but how do you make it? Right, so an Eved Ivri, Rosa, listen carefully, is you pay him money to buy his body. You buy it. You give him money, you own his body. Now, what does it mean you own his body? So you can't totally own a Jew's body. No such thing. So what does it mean? It means you own his body vis-a-vis the work that he's going to do for you. See, a regular guy who's mopping the floor, you don't own him. You don't own him. You don't own him. He's just doing a service for you. You pay. And every evening you pay him to own his body. So the line after me, what does that mean? It sounds like gibberish. It sounds like, no, because the halacha is that in Eved Ivri, you could give part of the service that you own him is that you can give him a shifra. A shifra knas means you can take a woman who's not Jewish and she converts to be a shifra, and you could have him cohabit with this woman. And that's part of him being an Eved Ivri. That an Eved Ivri means during the day he works for you, he mops the floors, he does whatever, and at night he cohabits with this woman, so he produces children for you. And the children are going to work for you also. So that's part of an Eved Ivri. Now, this woman is not Jewish. She's a shifka knanis. It means that she is a non-Jewish woman who converted to be a shifka. So she's chayiv in mitzvahs like an isha, but she's not a full Jewish. So a regular... So this is like a strange halacha. This is a strange halacha. No? We allow a man, a Jewish man, to cohabit with a non-Jewish woman. She's not totally Jewish. She's a shifka knanis. And why? Because this is the chiddush haTorah, that you could buy a human being, and you own him legabe. You don't own him totally, but you own him legabe the work, and therefore he has a special status. This Eved Ivri has a special status that we let him cohabit with a shifka knanis, and that's part of the avos. Part of the avos is that he's going to produce children for you, and they're going to be your. And that's the pasuk in the Kodesh.
What's the status of the children?
They're going to be little abadim. They're going to be little abadim that are going to be. Could be. Right, they're going to be little abadim, and that's part of an evidence. But the halacha is interesting. That you only give him a shifra knanis if what? If what? What did you say? Say it again. Say it again. 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 What do you mean?
You already had a Jewish wife.
He's married. Married, then you give him what? Then you give him a shifra.
Married?
Yeah. Oh. So you would think if he's single, so give him a shifra. No, just the opposite. Only give him a shifra if what? If he's already married. Why? Right, the pasuk of chumash. In bekapo yavo, bekapo yetzei. If he comes in alone, he goes out alone. You don't give him a shifra. Only if he's already married. This guy is already married, and he didn't make a neighbor, so now he wants to get some money, so he sells himself as a what? As an eved ivri, and then you give him a shifra. So what's the logic? What's the logic? You're a logical person. You say, yeah, I understand. If he doesn't have a wife, so give him the shifra now. So if he has a wife, you think, polygamy, don't give him. So what's the logic? Logic is because
discourage him from selling himself to begin with.
Discourage him from wanting to stay in. In other words, if he's not married and you're giving him a shifra, so there's no reason, and he's only allowed to be an eved for 6 years, right? So we don't want him. We want to discourage him from wanting him to be an eved more, right? So therefore, if he's not married, he's going to say, I'll just stay here with my shifra. But if he's married, so he's going to want to, he has already ties to someone else, so then after 6 years, he's going to be very happy to go to leave. We don't want him to stay more than that. We don't want him to stay more than that. Right? So therefore, only if he's already married, so then part of his avdus is that we give him what? We give him a shifra. And that's part of his obligation. We'll go back to the land of Israel, and Rova the Jews would be in the land of Israel, then we can have it in Yovel, and then we can have an Eved Ivri. Right, okay, that's right. The Beit Gershon, okay. But we still have the din of Eved Ivri without the Shifra aspect. Okay? What? The kids, the little kids, are Eved Knanis. Little Eved Knanis.
Why?
Because their mom,
she's
a Shifra Knanis. So the little kids are Eved Knanis. Little Eved Knanis.
And even if, and after they let go.
Huh?
After they let go.
After the... If they go to the mikvah again, they can convert and become full-fledged. Okay, well, let us slow. Now, we know, so the halakha is, if you stole money and you want to get some money, so you sell yourself and you become an evidence. And then, that means the adon owns you in regard to what? To working. What if the tenant says, I want to stay? We don't like that. Why don't we like that? What's wrong? He's for 6 years. He wants him to earn her more money. So why don't we like that? Why don't we like that? Because we believe that people should be independent. That's what the Gemara says. You shouldn't be an eved to anybody. Only Hashem. Okay? The Torah doesn't believe in... That's why you come here to Yeshiva to learn Parnassa also. Besides the values of learning, learning, you know, other knowledge besides Torah, which has value to it also. But it's also important that everyone should be able to make a Parnassa. Because if you don't have your own Parnassa, then you're an Eved to someone else. And it's not good to be an Eved. The Torah doesn't like people to be an Eved. Torah believes in independence. That you should earn your own parnasa. So that's why everyone has to figure out. That's the main part of your life, is to figure out what you're cut out for, and then to pursue what you're cut out for. Because if you're going to do something you're not going to cut out for, you're going to have a miserable life. Okay. So you want to do something when you're earning a parnasa that you're also enjoying. So you shouldn't have a miserable life. But it's very important, as Rav Shechter always says. We say it in benching all the time. Al piyinu loli day matnas parsar madam, the loli day halvasa. We should never be in a situation where we have to borrow money, or we shouldn't be in a situation where we have to receive handouts from people. And that's a big yisod. Sometimes in this generation, people forgot about this yisod. And a lot of people work on the principle that people at Jerusalem is going to support me. And so maybe, as I'm trying to point out, the guy who's going to be the next Chazon Ish, maybe the community should support him. He'll become the next Chazon Ish. But he's not going to become the next Chazon Ish. So everyone is allowed a certain amount. You know, you're in the Smicha program, you're in the Kollel, but to do it indefinitely, that's a violation of this idea. And a person should have the chayrus. It's very important. Torah does not like people to be avod. Okay, so what happened? This guy says, I want to be an eved. So what do we do to him? We put a hole in his ear, and then he becomes an eved for what? Till Yovel. So he's on the 50-year program. Until Yovel, he's in heaven. So what happens after 50 years? He still wants to stay. Why? Because he likes the shifka. So now that's what the Gemara says here in Baba Kama on page 8. Tashma, minayin l'nirtza. A person's nirtza means a person who already had his ear pierced because he wanted to stay. Shekol lo yomov, meaning his time is up. The 50 years are up. Verabo misarhev bo lotzes. And his Rebbe, meaning the Odom, his master, the one who owns him, is encouraging him to leave. Meaning, he doesn't want him to cohabit anymore with this woman. Because once 50 years is up, he's not allowed to cohabit with her. He's already no longer an Eved. It's automatic. Once the yovel comes, so a chavol, but this guy. I made one error. What was the error I said? What did I say? Yovel is a 50-year program. What was wrong with that statement? Yovel is. It depends what he sold. Right. Doesn't mean you go 50 years. And say, because there's a cycle. You could be sold on the 40th year of the cycle, so then you go for 6 years, and then you want to stay more, so it's only 4 more years to the. So it doesn't mean 50 years from when you happen to be the soul. There's a 50-year cycle that's kavua. So whenever the yovel comes, that's when your extended avdus ends. So this eved wants to stay, and apparently he was very passionate about his staying, and the other one is very passionate about him leaving. So also mochabur. So he got a little physical there, and he sort of punched him or something, and he made a chabur. He wounded him. The Adam wounded his Eved. In other words, in his trying to get him to leave, he wounded his, because he's saying you're violating a law. You're a Jewish man. You're not allowed to cohabit. Only when you're an Eved Ivri, then you can cohabit with a Shifcha. When you're not an Eved Ivri, you can't cohabit. So once Yovel comes, it's automatically you're no longer Eved anymore. So if you're no longer an Eved anymore, so then what? You have to leave. But he didn't want to leave, so he punched him in the face. So does the other have to pay? He wounded someone. So the halakha is the other's part. Talmudoma lo sikhu kofer lashuv, lo sikhu kofer lashav. You don't take any payment for somebody who wounds somebody who's trying to continue being an Eved. He's trying to continue to be an Eved, and he's not supposed to. You don't allow him anymore to. You don't have to. The Adon doesn't have to pay, because the Adon really didn't do anything wrong. Why? Why didn't the Adon do anything wrong? What? He's stopping him from doing an Avera. He's stopping him from doing an Avera. The guy is violating, wants to continue living with the Shifcha, and now Yovel comes. No more. But he wants, so he punches him. So he's the Adon's part. The Adon didn't do anything wrong, doesn't have to pay for the wounds, etc. Oh, so how is this relevant to everything we were talking about? Yeah. Right. So the question is, how can the Adon do this if the Tosus is right, based on the Tosus, that for kfiya, you need what? Smuchim. And you don't say shluchusayu. You only say bagit. You don't say shluchusayu. You mean smuchim. So what right did the Adon have? The Adon is not a musbach necessarily. Probably not, right? This master is not necessarily. It doesn't say only if the master is a musbach. Pashtus is any master who had this altercation with his Eved. This is the halakha. Any master who had this run-in with his Eved, this is the halakha. That if he punches him, he's puter. Why did he punch him? Because he's trying to stop him from doing an Aver. So one second. So the Nesivis has the kasha on the Ktzos. Let's go back to page 7. Again, I was nice. I just put in the key line here. Kamasha kosov yishibud avabezin kofin boy bezin dafkel kfosu the head yodas labnei yishin ninu head yodos hanav bnei yishu. The Ktzos says that head yodos cannot force. The Siva says what you said, the Ktzos, that you need smuchin for kfiya, for coercion. It's not true. Why? The came in the Domino Osa Sukkah in Osa, the Kofim Lakaima Mitzvah, Kol Adam Mitzvah Lahafish Haverim Isr. Afil Misha Eno Bechal Bezin. Ked Muchach, Gobakama, Gavinirza Shakol Yomav Yochel Rabba Lakosuk de Lafish of Isr Shivka Ein Shom. And Siva says that our Kosis, that the Tzos quotes, that says that you need a. It's not really the Tzos's fault. What are our Kosis? Our Kosis says that Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufneim, right? Asher Tosim Lufneim means that you need, right? Tosim says the two tzukim, that Elohim and Tosim Lufneim. Elohim means you need smuchim for what? For what? For the judgment. Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufneim means you need for what? For the tefillah. You need smuchim for both. So the receiver says it's not true. It ain't true. It's not true. You see the Farish. From where? You see the Farish from Agamara, meaning the Gemara in Bava Kama, Chokhes, by the Odom, that even a commoner, even the Odom, the Odom, the owner, the master, he's not a Musmach, probably not. Right? And yet he's allowed to hit the guy. Fear, right? To stop, right? To stop him from violating the Isser of happening with the what? With the Shifka. So if that be the case, of Osai, you see, Beferish, you don't need Smuchin. Right? He's saying, it's not only a problem with the Tzos at first glance, it's a problem with the Tosis. Sosha Gemara. Wait, let's digest the question. Okay, it went down? Went down okay, the question? You got the question? In other words, we got through saying that you need smuchin not only for the din, but also for the kfiyah, but here you have a Beferish Gemara that says it's not true. That the Adam could be kofa the what? Could be kofa the Eden. And the Adam is not necessarily Musmach. The Gemara never says only if the Adam is a Musmach. Probably, I would say most Adam is probably are not. Most people in the world are not Musmach, real Musmach. I mean, even then, when they have to meet. That's only for the moment aspect. So just because you can be kofer doesn't, maybe you can be kofer but you still have to pay him if you normally when you kofer. You're saying Ami's saying that maybe it's not a right, maybe it's a special gzeirus hakosuv by an eved. In this situation you have a special heter. Maybe. Not bad, I didn't think of that, but not bad. Good, not bad, good.
Could you say it's been the other situation or something? You really shouldn't have done it, because since he did do it, we don't punish him for it.
Maybe. Yeah, wait, Ellie wanted to say something. Ellie, do you want to say something?
I looked at that. Maybe it's, he's right now he's acting to do an Avera by staying.
So how are you answering? Okay, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Ari? Well, it's an Avera to continue cohabiting with the Shifka.
Yeah, but is it a Losasa or an As?
It's a Losasa.
So for that, then, fear you wouldn't give anyway. You would only give it for an As and a Losasa.
No, but we saw that the Ron explained what, you know, okay.
My only discreet thing was Elohim is you said someone who has a status above you because he can kill you, right? So maybe this because he's the Adam, he's the master, so someone who looks up to whatever, using the right terminology. But,
yeah, okay.
No? That maybe somebody has special status so that he can give the fee instead of it's as if a dying is coming.
No, the other is not a dying. It's not even in place of a dying. That's also a problem. That's also a problem, you're saying. You need a bezdin. So you not only need shmukim, you need a bezdin. Oh, so on page 9, Mordechai? Right, but the svara is that if it's potter, it's probably because you're saying maybe it's potter, but in the Chanami you weren't supposed to do it.
Usually by Shabbos.
By Shabbos you have that, but you don't necessarily have that outside the area of Shabbos. By Shabbos you say potter v'alasa. By other areas, potter could mean potter and mutter. Okay, Yechiel, I said no, it's not right. It's not right of me, so you should speak. But it's not technical Malkus, because he's just an Adam. And technical Malkus, you need a real bezin. Oh, so 1 second. So on page 9 is the Sefer Meshovev Nesivus. Who's the Meshovev Nesivus? The Ktzos. The Ktzos wrote a Sefer answering up the questions that the Nesivus had on him. And then there's another Sefer that the Nesivus wrote answering the answers back. So it doesn't end. Okay? So, but Meshovev Nesivus means the response to the Nesivus. I don't know if they live near each other. I'm not sure. So we're not going to read this whole thing now. That's why I always put in the second arrow. Whenever I put in a second arrow, that means that's the real key, right? If you didn't get that. You should, you know, as lechatchila, you should read the whole thing. But if it's too much, look at my second arrow, because that's really where the punchline is. What? What? So the second arrow says, "Masha Omru Benirtza Shakolu Yama B'Yachol Rabba Lakosu Lafishu Miyisa Shivka Haynu Lafishu Miyisa." Hey, Misha Roach Haver Lovei Shatn Es Yachol Laf the Posh Domeil of Afilu B'Shuk of Alakufu Lakai Mitzas Essay. Simple. He's saying like this. The Ktzos says that even I, and even the Tosfos who holds that you need smicha for kfiyah, that doesn't apply to a lo sase. Because if I see somebody eating a McDonald's hamburger, again, this doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, because Zman Hazeh we have our own ways of dealing with people and how we should deal with people. But in the pristine society of the Talmudic era, where if you were going to do this, you were going to get people, it would be productive. Today, all these things are not going to be productive. So if we explain to the Chumash here yesterday, and we don't do all these things because none of this is productive, none of this is applicable. So we realize that. But in the society that was applicable and it was productive, so then the halacha, so the Ktzos says like this, that when we, there's a chiluk between mitzvahs esse and a mitzvahs lo sase. What does that mean? Mitzvahs esse means the person does not want to do a mitzvahs esse. He doesn't want to put lulav, he doesn't want to shake lulav, he doesn't want to put on tefillin, he doesn't want to go in the sukkah. That's one category. And then there's the individual who violates lo sase. He eats the chazer, eats tartis, etc. Okay? So, if you would have to differentiate between mitzvahs esse and mitzvahs lo sase, vis-a-vis kfiyah, and say maybe kfiyah only requires smucha, smicha in one of those categories. Which one would you choose? That one. Right, and by lo sase? Why?
Right.
In other words, if somebody's violating an aveira, so every Jew has a responsibility to stop somebody from violating an aveira. So that you don't need smicha for. But to get him to do a mitzvah, only bezin, shall smucha. That's what the Tzav says. Why should that be? How do you explain that? Any time? So Amitai is very practical. So it's very practical. If somebody's doing mitzvahs lo saseh, so if you're going to have to call the bezdin to, at the time the bezdin's going to come and they're going to get the smuchim around, they'll already have eaten the 10 hamburgers by then. So then you just do it on the spot. You just on the spot. You take the hamburger away from them on the spot. But if you need, if you want to try to get someone to do a mitzvahs essay, so then as long as you have the whole day for him to do the mitzvah essay, so then his afka should get a bezdin. Because we don't want necessarily... Okay, I hear what you're saying. I never thought of it in those terms. It's very practical terms you're saying, which is good. Practical is also good. Is there to be any other svara? Gil? You're saying like a psychological shock.
I mean, even in terms of like benefit of the death. One is the benefit of the death.
I don't know if you're here to judge, they just say do it. They're not here to psychoanalyze, you know, why isn't he putting on tefillin? Yeah, you feel?
Maybe you can say that in the last aspect, since it's almost like a din of Aravis, since it affects you directly, as long as I say it affects all. But I'm not doing that because I say it affects all clients.
But not doing an essay?
Not doing an essay. It's being different than I say. It's not necessarily affecting the whole client. So this guy is missing out, but it's not necessarily.
But we assume Kol Yisrael Aravim Zebazeh is also on Mitzvah's essay.
Passive and active.
By
essay, it's passive, not doing something. So essay, it's active.
Right. So why should that be relevant?
Essay, the last year, just be passive and do nothing. But from slice essay, you don't say.
Okay, but it's not explaining why that should be relevant.
I haven't ever agreed. Me getting in his way is just me getting in his way. It's me stopping him from continuing to doing what he's doing.
Right.
And for me, as a basement to make the guys consider him, I said, knock myself out, just pick an option.
Yeah.
So that's me putting out of sock that makes somebody, requires somebody to do something. And if one person doesn't have the ability to make a sock that would require somebody to do something,
that's probably what you're saying, Ami, is probably the true shot here. Even though I like what Amitai said also. But what you're saying, I think, is the pashut pshat. That, in other words, you know, to make someone do something, you need the koach bezdin. You need the koach bezdin to make someone do something, to make someone give a get, to make someone sit in sukkah, to make to stop the guy's doing an aveira, so anyone could stop him from doing the aveira. Because but why don't you say the same thing? Why don't you say the same thing? The Torah said you got to sit in sukkah, so why do I need special rishus to get him to sit in sukkah?
Well,
Intuitively, I think you're right, but we have, how do you define it?
If a guy walks in the street and says, "I pay the tips, must go this way," there's no euro.
But the Torah said, "I already have the Torah on my side."
Okay, but he knows the post.
The same Torah that says he can't eat lobster says that you have to take lulav. Okay. We have to think about it. So, but that's his answer. So, Mamela, he says that Gemara of the Adon and the Eved is talking about a mitzvah lo saseh, the lo saseh of lo siyakadesh or lo yakadesh, and Mamela, that anyone could stop. The mitzvah essay, you need dafka a best. Okay. Now, tomorrow, Bez Hashem, I'd like to do the sugi of Kofar Pibikadim, which is very lemaisa, about what, who's pasul la'edus, and what kind of geneva's pasul yu la'edus, and what, in general, what makes somebody kosher la'edus, what makes something pasul la'edus, and it goes back to the first Rashi of, some people do this Rashi on the first day of Shir. I thought we should do these sugyas first, and then go back to that first Rashi. And then, Bez Hashem, we're going to have other sugyas of Bezdin, which are Nogela Maisa, Chalitza sugya, and which is also, I want to do Rav Moshe's tshuva. When we do the sugya of Chalitza, Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva about what should be the proper, how should you pronounce Hebrew? Ashkenazis, Svaradit, what is the proper way of pronouncing Hebrew? And is there is there one right way versus, and you know, say you heard someone, Balkore, Lane, and he said it's Svaradit and you're Ashkenazi, and what's the halacha of that? And how does that play in? And that's, it comes up here in Yone Chalitza. So that's the coming attraction.